Like to welcome all of you. For those of you who may be joining for the first time may not know, but today is a very special day for our church. If you look up here, yeah. It's our ninth anniversary of the church. And you say, so what, right? But it means so much to me. You know, not because I'm a pastor of this church, but God's faithfulness, which you may take it for granted. He doesn't have to, you know. But he was faithful to this church for the last 9 years. And God has done, I believe, his work through the church. For those of you who've been here for past 9 years, some of you have been here for entire 9 years, every single Sunday, God bless you, really. You know, one of the signs of true disciples is faithfulness, okay? And I really mean it. God cannot use fickle people. Would you hire a fickle person? Let's say you do a business and you don't know when this person is leaving. You don't know when he's thinking about moving into a different company so that he can. Would you hire that person? I wouldn't. God cannot use faithful, really cannot use fickle person. And I happen to believe, which I know it is from the teaching of the scripture, faithful people are humble people. Just think about it. I know you've been hearing this, for those of you who've been in the church for many, many years. It's true, right? So I want to praise God, and I pray that you will live as faithful men and women of God. And youth group, I pray that you will have desire to give your best during this worship service. And I want to remind you, because it's only 1 hour a day, I mean a week. And you should give your best, because God deserves the best. And I just want to continue to teach that. I'm using youth group as a point person, but it applies to all of us. Because think about it, if you are kind of like, think of worship service as nothing, would you live a better Christian life during the week? It's an impossibility. Okay, so today's a great day, and we're continuing on Christianity Explored 15, and today's passage is from John 15. I was thinking, could that be a coincidence? It is coincidence, okay, so don't think much of it, but maybe not, right? We're continuing on what is grace. Last week we talked about amazing gospel of grace. For those of you who heard it, you know, that good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. That's the Christian message. And can you just brush it off and then you just go on with your life? Just think about it. I don't know how that's possible. I don't understand that. If you believe that, good shepherd lay down his life for you, how do you just brush it off, right? It just does not make sense at all. So we talked about that. Good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep. And in between, in verse 14 and 15 in John chapter 10, it says, the good shepherd know the sheep. And the sheep know the good shepherd, just as, kathos, we're going to see another kathos today, just as Father knows the Son and Son knows the Father. Do you see the connection? We talked about this last week. How and what kind of relationship between Father and the Son? How long does it go back? How much committed? Can it ever be separated? How selfish and unselfish is it? We're talking about the very core of our God, triune God, right? Three persons in unity, Trinity, triunity. It's incredible. And basically Jesus is saying, just as Father knows me, I know my sheep, which means he is committed to you inseparably. eternally. And you should meditate on this, okay? So today we're continuing on the topic of grace, and the title is Abide in Me, okay? Can you think with me, okay? This is the heart of God. And right away, I want us to think, why would he do that? Who am I? Do I deserve it? How do I treat him, by the way? How do you treat him? I don't know how you treat personally, but Bible says we treat him pretty harshly. In fact, we are mere enemies and haters of God. But he wants to abide in me, right? Abide in him. Would you like to hang out with people who are very unattractive and have no benefit to you, who just curses at you all the time? Would you want to do that? Abide with that kind of people? Normally you wouldn't, okay? I don't think you would. Naturally, we wouldn't want to do that. But amazing story of the gospel is, he does. Right? Amazing story of the gospel. That's the grace, I think. Okay, so that as an introduction, okay, I want us to kind of look at the image of vine language, because this is the seventh I am statement of John's gospel. And John's gospel, among other things, the major distinctive of this gospel is that Jesus is God, the divine nature of Jesus. And he said something like this in John chapter 14. Philip said, "Show me the Father." Wow, that's a daring statement, isn't it? Just like Moses says, "Show me the glory." And Philip said, "Show me the Father, Father God," I'm talking about. In the Bible, when you see God, you die because he's holy. And yet, Philip asked, one of the disciples asked, in this critical moment of Jesus' life, a day before he died, can we just kind of go into that mode? I think John chapter 14, 15, 16 is great in content, but in context, it's even much, much, much greater. It's a day before he went to the cross. And when Philip said, "Show me the Father," and this is what Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Can you believe that? Right? He's divine. And he is the vine, and you are the branches. Okay, he's saying, let me get something straight. Can branches live on its own? Is there any life in and of itself? Is there any possibility that branch could live, let alone be fruitful? No, absolutely not, actually. You become a dry stick. This week, as I was meditating about this passage, I just preached at Community Reformed Church, 10 o'clock service. And this is my second service. And this week I was thinking about that expression in the Bible, dry stick. I'm a dry stick. I don't know about you, but I don't know whether you think like that, but I'm a dry stick. When the Bible says I'm a dry stick, it connotes two things, I think. Number one, lifeless, right? Dry stick don't have life. Number two, the second connotation is useless. What are you going to do with a dry stick, right? And I'm a dry stick. But even a dry stick, when I abide in Christ, life blossoms. Isn't that amazing? When I abide in Christ, it'll eventually have fruits. That's an amazing, amazing grace if you think about it. I'm a dry stick. Okay? So, vine and the branches. Let me read John chapter 15, 1 through 8, one more time. Okay? I know Pastor June already read it. For those of you who didn't quite hear, I'm going to read it one more time, so if you could just focus with me. Okay? He said, "I am the true vine," as if there is false vine, right? anything that Jesus says or does is true, because God is the truth. In John chapter 14, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Would you get that? Okay, let me say that one more time. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, Jesus said. That's a daring statement. Either he is absolutely right or he's absolutely wrong. Don't you think? Right? Truth by nature is absolute. So don't get offended. Okay? Truth by nature is absolute. Okay? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser or gardener or the farmer. Two types of branches, and I ask you to focus, okay? Branches that does not bear fruit, he cuts away, okay, takes away. And then there is branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And this word, two words, are very similar, by the way. And he does that so that it may bear more fruits. So there are only two types of branches, okay? And Jesus is talking about disciples, followers. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word of I have spoken to you. And I want to really focus on verse 4 instead of 5 today. Abide in me and I in you. That's Jesus' language, isn't it? Father in me, I'm in the Father. Just as you are in me and I'm in the Father. And he's saying, abide in me and I in you. In me, in you. Can you visualize that? It's hard. It's more than our third or fourth dimension imagery. But that's the language Jesus used over and over and over again, especially in this last sermon. John chapter 14, 15, 16 is his last sermon, a night before he died. It's called Olivet Discourse. And just put things into perspective. Would you say something non-essential a day before you die to your family members who are so crucial to you? Probably not, right? I don't think you would. So that's the context. Abide in me and I in you. Just as, there is the kathos right there. Okay, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Okay. No matter what you think of who you are and what your life is, unless Jesus is claiming that, unless you abide in him, you're not going to live, let alone have fruits. Okay? Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he's that brings much fruit. You're going to bear much fruit. If you abide in me, you're going to have fruits. That's a sign or proof of you being a true disciple, a true Christian. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay? For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? Actually, this is a picture I found from Israel, actually. This is the vine and the branches of Israel. So this is what it looks like. This is the vine and branches and leaves and the fruits. Okay? Let me finish. If anyone does not abide in me, okay, just in case, I don't care. I'm just going to live without him. If you don't abide in him, Jesus is saying, this is what's going to happen to you. He will be thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and be burned. Okay? I'm no hellfire preacher, but I think Jesus is. Okay? I just want to state it as it is. Okay? He said, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown and thrown away like a branch and withers. You become a dry stick and you'll be gathered and you'll be thrown into fire and you'll be burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, he's replacing. He used that interchangeably. If you remain in me and I remain in you, or my word remain in you, interchangeably. That's the place of God's word, people. That's the place of God's word. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. And by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and that proves that you are my followers and disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Okay? Alrighty. Let me give you some backgrounds, okay? Last week I talked about shepherd and sheep in John chapter 10, and how we talked about the nature or the attribute of sheep. Sheep are very unintelligent, okay? Big body, weak herbivores, but slow. That's a bad combination. And they are prone to wander, and they are very stubborn and demanding, starting from birth, okay? They want to suckle until it hurts the mom. And all they think about is day after day after day, just eating grass for itself, okay? And basically, sheep cannot live one day without a shepherd. Helpless animal, clueless animal, dependent, must depend on the shepherd animal. And here is the message. Bible says, all we like sheep. All of us like sheep. And Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. We talked about that last week. Today, kind of similar. You are the branches, and I'm the vine. Basically, apart from me, you are not only useless, you are lifeless. And you'll be gathered, and you'll be burned. And there is no death. You'll be burned. That's the Christian message. But here is what Jesus is saying a night before he dies to his disciples. Listen to me. Abide in me. That word abide shows up 10 times in 8 verses. 10 times. Mano. That's the Greek word. Mano. Very important word. Abide in me. Don't leave me. Abide in me. Okay? So, that's what the context is, and why is Jesus saying he's the true vine? Here is the background. If you could just listen to it, it'll deepen your understanding. Jesus is the master storyteller. He always tells a story, and he's a master, of course, because he's God, right? And in Palestine, there are two main cultures. One is pastoral culture, and the other one is viticulture. One is about shepherd and sheep, and the other one is about vine and branches. And he uses both to describe himself and the people relationship. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what it would be if it is 21st century in America, but pastoral culture and viticulture. And he uses it, okay? And Jesus said, I am the vine, my Father is the farmer. He's the one who tilts. He's the one who sows. He's the one who cuts. He's the one who cleanses and prunes, and he's the one who fertilizes. He's the one who cares, and he's the one who reaps, and he's the one who rejoices. And that's the vine dresser, farmer, and you, the disciples, quote, followers of Jesus, you are the branches. And then he talks about two types of branches among you. Please listen. One who bears fruits, and one who does not bear fruits. Jesus was very troubled in heart when he was sharing this message a night before he died. He knew what was coming. He knew very well what was coming. He knew he had to be betrayed and go through all that suffering. And then the most critical, probably overwhelming thing to him for it was the wrath of God will be poured upon him, which you deserve and I deserve. Can you even imagine what that wrath of God is like? That justice of God demands. And he knew it. He knew that was coming. And yet, he's giving this message, and this is the last message of Jesus' message. Some of you will be like Judas, and you're not going to have any fruits. You're not going to abide and remain. You're going to walk away. What happened to Judas? Do you remember? He betrayed him. He hung himself and he died. Did Jesus know this? Of course. Of course. He knows all men and what is in a man. John chapter 2. He knows you and he knows what is in you. And the other 11 disciples, the true disciples, eventually, they lay down their lives, with their lives, literally lives, and became true followers of Christ and bearing fruits, right? So I really ask you to listen. Some of you have fruits right now. Some of you don't. So which branch, right? That, I think that is what is in view. And he's saying, abide in me. Abide in me. He's speaking to both categories. Abide in me. Come back to me. Abide in me. Just devote yourself to me. That's the only way to live. I think that's what he's saying. Okay? In the Old Testament, in Psalm 80, verse 8, it portrays Israel as God's vine. If you know Old Testament, Israel, the nation of Israel, which is the path or the vehicle of God's covenant blessing was through the Israel. In other words, you being part of Israel, that's where the blessing is and that's where the salvation is. But the problem is that Israel is completely fruitless vine. Okay? And it's all over the places. And in Isaiah, all over the places. And basically, in the Old Testament, God and the prophet laments that there is no fruit. And then impending judgment of God. That's the Old Testament story, right? So Israel is a failure vine, empty vine, faithless vine. And Jesus, Son of God, comes himself and he's saying, I am the true vine. It is through me. It is through your association, connectedness, and through faith and faith alone, you will be God's people and you'll be the church, and that's how the blessing and salvation flows. That's what he's saying. So it is a little bit more than just the viticulture thing, okay? So theologically, I just want to share this. John's point in John's gospel is that Jesus displaces Israel as the focus of God's plan of salvation with the implication that faith in Jesus becomes a decisive characteristics for membership of God's people. It's a huge statement, okay? Huge statement. But, okay, so let me talk about the Father a little bit, okay? The vine dresser, okay? Jesus is the vine and you are the branches. What does Father do? Father does two things, mainly. He cuts away, takes away fruitless branches. He does that. He does that. Don't underestimate him. Okay? He cuts away fruitless branches and gathers them and throw them so that it'll be burned. And there are second thing that he does, he cut or prunes and cleanses the ones who are fruitful, true disciples, so that you will bear much better fruits. Okay, that's what he does. Okay, so I want to introduce the word pruning here. Okay, this is what pruning is. I don't know whether you can see it. This is the hand of the farmer, and this is the knife. And he cuts, see this dead branch? He cuts. He cuts. Why? Because otherwise, the dead branch will sicken the vine. So it's no good. So he's going to have to cut. Okay? What does pruning involves? And I think this is very, very helpful. So I'm going to read it to you. Okay, this is by John MacArthur. Pruning was an essential part of first century viticultural practice, as it is today. And pruning involves four operations. So interesting if you could pay attention to this. Number one, it removes of the growing tips of a vigorous shoots so that they would not grow so rapidly. Growing too fast, and he cuts. Because it's gonna affect, okay? Interesting. Number two, pruning involves cutting off of 1 or 2 feet from the end of the growing shoots to prevent entire shoots being snapped off by the wind. Growing too fast is no good. So he cuts off so that entire thing doesn't fall away. So interesting, isn't it? And third, the removal of some flower or grape clusters so that those left could produce more and better quality fruit. That's so painful. Grapes and real flowers, useful things, he cuts away, lessen it, so that what is left will be better quality and, you know, better fruits. That's pruning is. That's what pruning is. Lastly, number four, removal of suckers that arose from the below and ground, from the trunk and main branches, so that the strength of the vine was not tapped by the suckers. Suckers will be removed by God. Do you understand this? This is pruning, cleaning. This is what the Father does. And he does that. He does that with you. And he does that with the church. I really do believe that. Okay? What does that mean? Okay, 1 John, if you say you have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, this is an amazing statement. The word of God will speak to you, and it's going to convict you of your sin. And when the Holy Spirit does that to you, and when you bring it to Jesus, and when you ask for cleansing and forgiveness, that word cleansing is same word as prunes. Isn't that interesting? Okay. But here is the big message that I would like to deliver to you. What does it mean to abide? Okay. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Can it ever be separated? No. If it is ever separated, you're lifeless. You're basically lifeless. You'll be dried up and you'll be burned. You need to be connected with him. But how could sinful person ever be connected with the holy God? That's the message, isn't it? That's the Christian message, isn't it? You know, I was doing some word study, which I find so incredibly powerful. If you could just stay with me. The chapter before chapter 15 is what? Chapter 14. And Jesus is preaching one sermon, chapter 14, 15, and 16. And this is what I find. Two places I find the word abide or mano. Okay, here it is. When Philip asked Jesus, show me the Father. And then Jesus said, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? If you see me, you have seen the Father. And then he said, do you not believe the Father is in me? And I'm in the Father. What is he talking about? The triune God existence and relationship, right? And this is what follows. Don't you know that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? And the word that I'm speaking to you, I do not speak my own authority, but Father who mano in me is doing the work. Whoa. So word abide, it describes the relationship between Father and the Son. They mano together. And in John chapter 15, which is, you know, just moments later, he said, mano with me, abide with me. Now, that's amazing if you think about it. Okay? And then you go down a few verses. Between this explanation of Father and the Son is one, and I am the true vine, Jesus introduces what? Holy Spirit. John's gospel, the Holy Spirit is so prominent, and he's so prominent a day before he died. I hope you get it. I hope you get it, brothers and sisters. And this is what he says when he describes the Holy Spirit, another helper, or the Spirit of truth. Verse 16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, right? Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he manno with you and will be in you forever. Word abide, he uses, Holy Spirit abides in you forever with you. And he's saying, abide in me. Do you catch it? This is a tremendous, tremendous message of grace and the gospel. You know how we could remain in him, abide in him? Because the Spirit of God abides in me. Just as kathos, Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. Do you catch it? It's amazing. So if you see that in light, John chapter 15, remain in me, abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What happened to Judas? You know, there are false disciples. You know that, right? You know that. I'm not accusing you. I'm not. But I just pray that the Spirit of God, as I am preaching what Jesus has shared and taught us in this critical moment of his time, I pray that you will be able to hear it so that you may be living as fruitless, false disciple. Maybe you need to return to him. Okay? Maybe you're one of those weak disciples, but you are true disciples, but you, your heart need to be drawn closer to Christ. You know what it is? I want to talk about fruits, okay? I was talking to my wife last night, and humbly, I mean it, and yet, very sincerely, I asked my wife, is there any fruit in the last 9 years of ministry at New Heart? Is there any fruit? And I, of course, part of me wanted to hear, of course. But I really humbly asked this question. Is there any fruit? And that's for God to judge. But do you know fruits? People see it. It's not just for the farmers. Other people see the fruits too. Right? I'm not going to talk about that. It's something for you to consider. But my question to you this afternoon is, what about you? What kind of fruits do you have? Is that important? I think so. Because if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you will have nothing. Do you have much fruit or nothing? That's a valid question, isn't it? And I thought about some of the fruits. What are some fruits that we could think about? What are the fruits? Okay, let me find where I... What other fruits are we talking about? Here we go. Number one, if you abide in Christ, I think Jesus talks about joy, life, vitality, and love. Do you have that fruit? Joy, vitality, and life, and love. Okay? Secondly, how about, can I ask you, if you are just mere branches and the vine is Jesus, you bear fruit. Whose fruit is that? It's not your fruit, right? Because every nutrient and life and sap comes from the root, through the stem, through the vine, to you. So you cannot make your own fruits. It can't be. So the fruit will look like Christ, don't you think? So I thought about two types of Christ-like branches, internal and external. One is Christ-like character. Love, joy, peace, right? Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you have that? Is it growing? And the other, external fruits, among other things, to save time. Do you have love? Do you have love for the lost? Do you care about other people's salvation and eternity? If not, what kind of fruits do you have? Right? And I want to mention one very, very dangerous fruit you may have, and that's bitterness. Why is that dangerous? Can you imagine you abide in Christ and you're a mere dry stick, and God pours grace upon you and you bear fruits and you live and you're bitter? Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense at all to you? It's a very dangerous fruit. You know why it is dangerous? Someone explained to me. Bitterness always wants to judge others, criticize others. And as soon as you do that, what you're doing is you're taking place of God and you are being proud. Matthew chapter 7, right? It's a dangerous fruit. That's not Christ's character. That's not the fruit of Christ. I'm just sharing this with you because, yeah, it's so crucial. Whereas Holy Spirit abide in you, and the Holy Spirit convicts of your sin, what's going to happen is this right here. So you confess your sins, and He forgives you, right? And it's going to prune you and cleanses you. That's Christian life, don't you think? If that is not happening at New Heart, we're not producing any fruits of Christ. But we may be producing fruits of religion. We may have people, but it doesn't mean anything. Do you understand that? I just want to close with two final thoughts, okay? Number one, this is what I wrote, if you could just stay with me this week. If you could just stay with me. This is the kind of thing I really encourage you to do. Sit down and think, just starting, jot it down, things like this. Because it really blesses your heart. That's what I thought about. The first great grace is that He desires to abide in me. He wants me to abide in Him. I'm like, why? Who am I? I'm a dirt. I'm a dry stick. Why would He want to do that? No, seriously, this is what I thought about. How could a perfectly holy, perfectly sufficient, perfectly great, Almighty God desires to abide with me? Why? Who am I? Mere dust, and I'll go back to dust. Do you know that? You're going to go back to dust, every single one of you, right? Who rebel against and hate God to the core. That's who I am, who I was. Bible says I'm a hater of God. You are haters of God. And He wants to abide with me. Not only He desires and He wanted to be with me and abide with me, He actually came to me and walked among us. Then He suffered by His mere creatures. How do you make sense out of that? The creature slapped His face. Would you like to get slapped by anyone? And you get slapped by this mere dust, right? Spit on, right? And He was eventually killed. And He took upon the wrath of God upon Himself, which I deserve for the last 55 years of my life and for eternity. He took upon Himself. Why? Because he took all my filth, all my baggage, all my hate, all my unforgiving rage. Please listen. All my bitterness. And he was punished, penalized in my place. In my place. Voluntarily. Satisfying God's demand of justice, which I need. I'm not done. Right? And just as he said, he was raised in 3 days. Right? And he has conquered sin and death. And he reigns now. And he's coming back. He reigns history and universe, and he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. And he desires and he commands to me, abide in me. How do you make sense out of that? I think he was saying to Judas, Judas, abide in me. Abide in me. Judas, Judas, abide in me. Come back to me. Don't you think? And he was saying to the rest of the disciples, hey, Peter, hey, John, hey, James, abide with me. He's going to die in 24 hours. He's going to depart in 24 hours. He said, abide with me, which means to the fullest, to the deepest, the most complete union with me. Commit your life to me. That's the only thing that's going to matter. That's the only thing that's going to matter. Commit to me. Abide in me. Secondly, I thought about the dry stick. I'm a dry stick. I really know. Somebody used the word useless in Korean discipleship. She realized, I'm a useless person. Yeah, I think God poured grace upon her. I'm a dry stick, which means I'm a lifeless. On my own, I'm lifeless. There's nothing. And I'm useless. Value, no purpose. But he abide with me. Just as Father abides the Son. Now that's much to meditate right there. Just as Father abides with the Son, and he abideth with me. Now by abiding in Christ, I bear his fruit. It's not my own, because I don't have any. Every breath and every ounce of energy comes from him, from the stem, from the vine, from the root. There is no other source of life in me, but it's him. He is pouring his grace and his sap and life into me so I could have fruits, if there is any fruits, which I believe he does and he will. And God, Holy Spirit, who abides in me, continue to convict my sin. So I don't live like a king, but I go to this verse, and he cleanses me, he prunes me. He does. He continually reminds me. By the way, he continually reminds me, you're nothing. You're just mere glove. Remember that illustration? Glove doesn't walk around. Glove doesn't do anything. You need the hand in the glove. God is the hand. I am just mere glove. Right? God abides in me. How is that possible? Cross. Cross. Isn't it? Cross. How is that possible? Holy God! Sinful dust! How can I abide in him? Only through the cross. Only through the blood. Isn't it? People! Isn't it? And that's where I need to go. That's where I need to go every single day. As we finish up ninth year of ministry at New Heart, I made up my mind. You know what that is? Same thing that I shared many years ago. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ alone, through which I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Right? Only through the cross on Calvary, he abideth with you and abideth with me. That's grace, isn't it? Grace. That's grace. Great grace. Let's pray.